The following reading is a continuation of a book called Preparation for Sufferings by John Flavel, Motivation and Exhortation to Get Ready Now. Get up from your beds, O sloth. Awake from your security, O you saints. Get up on your watchtowers and tremble in your cells that you may rest in the day of evil. Habakkuk 2, verses 1 to 3 and 16. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all, to stand. Ephesians 6, verses 11 to 13. Let it never be said of your dwellings, as it is said of the houses of the wicked, their houses are safe from fear. Job 21, 9. Caesar Augustus, hearing of one who is deeply in debt, who yet slept hardly, sent for the man's pillow, supposing there was some strange virtue in it. I wonder what pillow you have. O you drowsy saints, that you can sleep so quietly on it, when things all about you are conspiring trouble and threatening danger. Can you sleep like Jonah when seas of wrath are tumbling and roaring all around you, and threaten to entomb you and all your pleasures? The stork in heaven knows her appointed times. Jeremiah 8, verse 7. Has God not made you wiser than the fowls of heaven? Perhaps the sound of some present judgment might startle you a little, like a sudden clap of thunder in the air. But how soon does sloth and security prevail and overcome you again? They say poison by being habituated may be made harmless. We're so used to, or rather hardened under, calamities that nothing moves or effectively awakens us. Lord, what will the end of these things be? Will you surprise your people unprepared? Will your judgments find them secure and leave them desperate? Oh, that God would persuade you to gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, not in an unlawful and seditious way, but in the way of duty. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as a chaff. Zephaniah 2, verses 1 and 2. Prepare to meet your God. Prepare your faith, your love, courage, and so on. Before God calls you to exercise them, besides all the aforementioned benefits of a prepared spirit, consider the following motives to excite you to prepare for this duty. Motive 1. God has given you many calls to this work. The Lord has spoken and called from heaven to you. Will you be deaf to His calls? He has called you by the word. God will have it cry to you first, because He gives the first honor to His word. He has given all of His prophets one mouth. He spake by the mouth of His holy prophets, Luke 1, verse 70, and they have warned you faithfully. He has called you by the rod. This also has a loud voice. Psalm 2, verse 5, Micah 6, verse 9. Men of understanding will hear this voice. Those who will not hear it will be lashed by it until they are sick from smiting, Micah 6, verse 13. And He has called you by prodigious and portentous signs in the heavens and the earth, unparalleled in any other age. These are loud voices to all who regard the works of the Lord or the operations of His hand. Eusebius calls them God's sermons to the world. Oh, for wisdom to consider what God's hands are in these things. One observes that as they are the plainest and most obvious to sense, so they are commonly the last sermons that God intends to preach to the nations before He inflicts His punishment on them. If they don't repent, do not let God, who is speaking in ordinary and extraordinary ways to you, speak in vain. Your preparations for suffering are the most probable means of preventing your fall and ruin by those sufferings. Motive number 2. Suffering proves fatal and destructive to some, to the self-confident and careless ones. Those who are diligent and faithful in the use of God's means are safe from danger. Christ lays our constancy and perseverance very much on our forecasting the worst that may fall out. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand. Separate Christ in your thoughts from all worldly advantages and put the question to your own soul. O my soul, can you embrace or love a naked Christ? Can you be content to be impoverished, imprisoned, and suffer the loss of all for him? You are most likely to cleave faithfully to him when the case is truly presented to you in your eyes. Can it seem a little thing to be unable to stand in such an evil day? If you fall away from Christ, then all you have worked for is lost. Gideon's one illegitimate son destroyed all 70 of his other sons, Judges 8:29-9:5. This one act renders all former actions and professors vain. And if you fall, you will be brought into a more perfect bondage to the devil than ever. Yes, ordinarily apostates are judicially given up to be persecutors, and are seldom or never restored again by grace. Hebrews 6:4-6. Those who lick up their vomit seldom throw it up anymore. The fall brings you almost as low as the unpardonable sin from which none ever rise again. In some cases, a judge will not allow the offender his book. Is it not then a choice and desirable mercy to escape and prevent such a fall as this? O good souls, steadily and diligently work on your preparations. Prepare, or you will perish. Motive number 3, preparing your spirit for suffering is the best response to the grace of God in affording you such choice helps and advantages as you have enjoyed. How long have you enjoyed the free liberty of the gospel, shining radiantly among you? This sun has not risen on some nations, and to many on whom it has shined, it is like a remote and feeble winter's sun. But you have lived, as it were, under the line. It has been over your heads and shed its richest influences on you. God's ministers, who were not only appointed to be watchmen, Ezekiel 3:17, but trumpeters to reveal danger, Numbers 10:8, have faithfully warned you of a day of trouble and given you their best assistance to make you ready for it. Their joy, even their life, is bound up in your stability in such a day of trial. Does not everyone call to you in the words of the apostle, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved"? Will it not cut them to the very heart if, after all their consuming labor among you, they still leave you unready, still enemies to the cross of Christ, and impossibly enabled to be reconciled and persuaded to suffering work for Christ? I remember reading of the Athenian king Codrus, who was informed that the oracle had prophesied that the people whose king would be slain in battle would be the conquerors. On hearing that news, he disguised himself, went into the enemy's quarters, and provoked a quarrel in which he was killed in order to make his people victorious. How glad would your ministers be, no matter what became of their lives and liberties, if you might conquer and overcome in a day of temptation? If they are offered up on the sacrifice and service of your faith, they can still rejoice and joy with you all. Such is their zeal and longing after your security and welfare. But if you still remain an unready people and become a prey to temptation, how inexcusable will you be? Motive 4. Remember how ready the Lord Jesus was to suffer the hardest and vilest things for you. The wrath, both of God and man, was squeezed out into the bitter cup put into his hands to drink for you. Never did any man undergo such sufferings as Christ. Consider the dignity of his person. He was in the form of God and might have stood on his peerage and equality with him. He is a sparkling diamond of heaven, the darling of the Father's soul, Isaiah 42:1. Glorious as the only begotten of the Father, John 1:14. Yes, he is glory itself, and the very brightness of his glory, Hebrews 1:3. He is fairer than the children of men, Psalm 45:2. For him to be so debased, below so many thousands of his own creatures, to become a worm and no man, Psalm 22:6, was an astonishing humiliation. It was Jeremiah's lament that those who were brought up in scarlet embraced dunghills, that princes were hanged up by the hands, and the faces of elders were not revered. But what is that compared to the humiliation of the Lord of glory? Consider that he suffered in the prime and flower of his years. He suffered and died when full of life and feeling and more capable of an intense sense of pain than others. For he was of a singular constitution. All the while he hung on the tree, his sense of pain was not at all blunted or decayed. Mark 15, verses 37 and 39. Consider the manner of his death. It was the death of the cross, which was a rack of torture to Christ. For in reference to the distension of his body on the cross, it is spoken, I may tell all my bones. Psalm 22, verse 17. And consider that in all this, God hid his face from him. When Stephen suffered, he saw the heavens opened. Many of the martyrs were seized and transported with ecstasies of joy in their sufferings. But Christ suffered in the dark. He suffered in his soul as well as in his body. And the sufferings of his soul were the very soul of his sufferings. It was the Father's wrath that lay so heavy on him and put him into such an agony that there was never another instance given like his. His sweat, great drops or clots of blood, that fell from his body to the ground. He began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy, even sorrowful unto death. Yet, as bitter as the cup of Christ was, he freely and willingly drank it up. He prepared himself to be offered up a sacrifice and gave his back to the smiters and longed exceedingly for the time until it came. If Christ so cheerfully prepared and addressed himself to such sufferings as these for you, should you not prepare yourselves to encounter any difficulty or hardships for him? Do you not consider this a just and fair conclusion from the sufferings of Christ for you? For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. 1 Peter 4, verse 1. Oh, waste no more time. Do not feed yourself with fancies and groundless presumptions of immunity and peace. Instead, foresee difficulties and fit yourselves to bear them.